We're on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, and we're up on top of the Amud. And again, we're discussing the issue of an Erev that was left on an Ilan, on a tree. And we established that if the Erev was, and he's in Rishus HaRabim, and he wants to set up his Erev, where is the Erev? Is it in a Rishus HaYachid or in a Rishus HaRab? And it depends. If it's above 10 Tfachim, let's assume that it has the width of 4 Tfachim, then that's considered a Rishus HaYachid, and the Erev would be invalid, because he has no possibility of accessing his Erev once Shabbos begins, because he cannot take the Erev from Rishus HaYochid out into Rishus HaRab. We had a few exceptions to that rule based on the laws of Erevin in the name of Rava, as we discussed at great length yesterday with regard to Ibura Shel Ir or Dalet Amos. And in those cases, we established a principle called Huvei Ruvo B'Mokom Echad. But barring those exceptional cases, the Erev, if it's above 10 Tfachim, is invalid. However, if the Erev is below 10 Tfachim, then we can invoke the Sheet of Rebbe, and he has access to his Erev at Bein HaShmoshos, because the Gzera of a Carmelis does not apply during Bein HaShmoshos, according to Rebbe. And now the Gemara wants to know, what is Lamala Lamata mean? The Gemara was forced to a position, and I'm not going to go through the entire Shakavataria how, but the bottom line was, the Gemara was forced to a position in which this tree had branches that stretched out beyond 4 Amos, based on, again, Rava's position. And the Gemara then was bothered, how do we explain the language of the Mishnah, Lamala Lamata? Now, we thought that Lamala Lamata meant that you can have a tree, and you can imagine different levels of the same tree. Some levels are below Asar Tfachim, some above. And the validity or lack thereof of the Erev depends upon which level of the tree he put it on. But now you're talking about a branch. Then Mimarvshach, is that branch above 10 Tfachim or is it below 10 Tfachim? So what does it mean, Lamata Lamala? So the Gemara describes a situation where there are two branches that stretch out from this trunk, from this tree trunk. One is below 10 Tfachim and one is above 10 Tfachim. And that was the Gemara of Lamala Ulamata. So now the Gemara asks on the second line on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, V'ha Iboi Maisi La Derech Olav. The Gemara thinks that even in a case where the Erev is 4 Amos away from the trunk of the tree where he's being Konish Visa, and even if the Erev is on a branch that's above 10 Tfachim, the Erev should still be valid. That's the Gemara's objection. And why is that? Because if he would have wanted to, we'll call him the Ma'ariv, he could have brought the Eruv at Bein HaShmoshos by climbing up the tree, and he climbs above 10 Tfachim. He could grab onto the Eruv, and he could bring it down into his Mokom Shvisa, which is Be'ikar Shel Ilan at the trunk, because Lamala Me'asar Tfachim, it's considered a Rishus HaYochid. And now we have a situation of Huve Eruvo B'Mokom Echad, and it means the following. I'm going to read to you the summary of Rashi. He says, "Ilu ratzam arev yochel hayalahavi derech chelko ha'elyon shel ha'ilon v'bein ha'shmoshos. He can rise above 10 tefachim on the ilon. 10 tefachim is not that high. V'yachal lalos ala ilon l'mala me'asora v'litol es ha'es eruvo ulavio el ha'avir shemeal mokom ha'shvisa v'ikro shel ilon. In other words, let's say the Erev is 5 amos away from the trunk of the tree. Well, on Erev Shabbos, at Bein HaShmoshos, he can climb up the tree and move the Erev from one part of the tree to a closer to the trunk part of the tree, which would again activate the principle of Rava that any area around his Makom Shvisa within 4 Amos is considered surrounded by Mechitzos, which generates the halacha of Hu Veiruvo B'Makom Echad. The only problem is that if he moves the Eruv from one part of the branch to the other part of the branch, the part of the branch that's closer to the trunk, so it'll be Hu Veiruvo B'Makom Echad, then he's carrying an object from Rishus HaYochid to another part of Rishus HaYochid, Derech Avir Rishus HaRab. Why? Because the airspace below Asarat Tfachim is a Rishus HaRab. He says, Hare kol ha'ilon l'mala me'asarat nechshav ki Rishus HaYochid u'memela afal gav sheshvi soso Hilamata Lefisha Arba Amos Shesviv Makom Shvisoso Nechshavos Kirshusa Yochid Violos Adlerakia. Again, Rava's principle. So that again, there is, just to summarize Gemara's Kasha, there seems to be a methodology, an option by which he can climb up the Elon at Bein HaShmoshos. Again, he doesn't have to do this, actually, but the theoretical possibility. And he could take the Eruv and bring it into the airspace above his Makom Shvisa. Once he has the Eruv in the airspace above his Makom Shvisa, then we said that it's considered surrounded, according to Rav, by Mechitzos, which gives me the halach of Hu Veiruvo B'Makom Echad. You'll ask me, is he carrying it above the avir of Rishus HaRavim? And I'm not sure exactly what the solution to that problem is, but maybe we could just simply say that since it's going from one place in Rishus HaYochid to another place in Rishus HaYochid, then he doesn't violate Derech Avir Rishus HaRabim, because the Avir Rishus HaRabim is only Ola Ad Asar Tfachim. So the Avir Rishus HaRabim does not penetrate or rise, if you will, above Asar Tfachim. Alternatively, it could be that from Rishus HaYochid we need what's called Moshit, which means that he has to hand it over to someone else, like they did in the Mishkan, from Agola to Agola, but there was someone in the second Agola, in the second Rishus HaYochid, that received the object. Here, he's doing it himself, so there's no Iser Moshe. Now again, once he has the Eruv directly above his Makom Shvisa, even though again, his Makom Shvisa is in Rishus HaRabim, he would not be allowed to take the Eruv, which is above 10 Tfachim, and bring it down below 10 Tfachim, because that would be Meleches Hotzah. But as we established yesterday in our discussion on Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis, that's irrelevant to Eruv, because in Eruv, all we need is Hu Veiruvo B'Makom Echad, and that we have once he has the Eruv in the right, parallel, if you will, to the Makom Shvis. And that's the principle of Rav of Arba Amos surrounding his Makom Shvis. So that's considered Rishus HaYoch. So the Gemara answers, Kisharavim Mekatvim Olav. Now, what does that mean? That if you have a pole, something that protrudes from the ground and goes vertically up, if people use that pole for purposes of kituf, which means that, let's say, they have a knapsack or some sort of a package that they're carrying on their back, and it's getting a little bit heavy and hard for them to carry it, so they have to shift it around. So what they do is they lean on this makom kituf, on this pole, and they're able to shift it around. So that's called tikun masoi, hamunach al hakotev, that you can use this branch or whatever it might be as a place to rest your burden, right? Masoi means whatever you're carrying. I call it the knapsack. And at that point where the Erev is located, it's hanging outside. I shouldn't say hanging, but it's resting outside of four amos. And there is a possibility of kituf, of laying down or resting the masui on this branch. And now we have to ask ourselves, how high from the ground is this branch? So let's take the case of a branch that's less than 10 tvach. It's lamata me'asor tvach. Let's take that case first. If that is the case, then the kituf is considered a rishus harab. And that gives us another 10 tfachim of Rishus HaRabim from the Mokom Kituf. So that when he moves his Eruv from beyond Arba Amos into the area that is within Arba Amos, then he is taking it through a Rishus HaRabim. Why? Because that branch is a Mokom Kituf. And if it's a makom kituf, I'll read to you the summary of Rashi. He says, "Kshemavirus eruvo lamala me'asora bi'aviro shel nitias ha'anof." Right, so there's the avir below this branch, and he's now carrying his eruv above 10 tfachim over the avir, over the airspace of Rishus HaRabim. And he quotes here the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Tzadi Vav, that if you carry something from Rishus HaYochid through the airspace of Rishus HaRabim, even if you're carrying it above Asura, then that's a violation of an Iser Hotzah, an Iser, in this case, which is Doraisa. And this is derived, as we said before, from the Avodas HaLeviim in the Mishkan. And they carried things from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaYochid, Derech Avir Rishus HaRabim. Now, what sets up this Avir as Avir Rishus HaRabim, if it's L'mala Me'asora? And the answer is because of Mokom Shem Makatvim Olav, Rabim Makatvim Olav. So the Rabim Makatvim Olav now extends the Rishus HaRabim in such a way that the Avir now, into which he's moving his Eruv, is the Avir of Rishus HaRabim, Kida'ula. And this is based on the principle of Ula, that a Mokom Kituf is an extension of Rishus HaRabim. The Omar Ula Amud Tisha Bereshus Rabim, v'Rabim Mekatvim Olav, v'Zorak v'Noch Al Gabov. So he is standing in a Rishus HaYochid, and he throws an object onto a pillar. Oh, I guess Amud is in English would be a pillar, and this pillar is perfect height for Kituv, and it's located in Rishus HaRab, and it's called Rabim Mekatvim Olah. Chayav. It's as if he landed the object on the karka of Rishus HaRabim. In other words, since this pillar, as we called it, is located in Rishus HaRabim, that's A, and B, it's noach, it's very comfortable to use it as kituf. In fact, the Rabbim are using it as kituf. Therefore, it has the status of a Rishus HaRabim. Now, I said to you that he's standing in Rishus HaYochin in Ula's case, Lav Dafka, he could be standing in Rishus HaRabim, but he throws something for Amos in Rishus HaRabim, and it lands on this Amud. And you and I would have said that the Amud is a Mokum Ptur, but no. Since it's Rabbi Mekatvin Olav, it's like an extension of the karka. And therefore, it's as if he carried it in the karka and put it down in the karka 4 amos away, and therefore he violates Havoras Dalet Amos Bereshus HaRab. Now, the only thing that bothers me here, and I'm looking here in the note to see if he answers this question, is that when it says in the Gemara that Rabbi Mekatvin Olav is derived from Avodas HaLeviim B'Mishkan as an extension of Rishus HaRabim, the case in the Mishkan was Moshit. So let me just think about this for a second. Right, Hayu Moshitim, I'm reading the note here, he says, Hayu Moshitim Kroshim Mi'agola Shei Rishus HaYochid, La'agola Shei Rishus HaYochid, Derech Avi Rishus HaRabim. And he's Chayev. Okay, he goes into the discussion about Diyuta Achas. Fine. So here, why is this called Moshit? So Rabbosa, I'm just going to mention, this is the piece of the puzzle that has to be ironed out a little bit, that from Moshit we're going to derive a halacha of Mavir. What do I mean? That in the case of Moshit, it's quite possible that the only time you'd be chayav for Moshit, I mean, you got to know the sugyas of Moshit, is, so it's l'malo me'asorah, and it goes from one agola to the other agola, it's also l'malo me'asorah, and it passes through the avir of a Rishus HaRab, because the Machne Levia had the status of Rishus HaRab. What happens if he carries something from one Rishus HaYochid to the other Rishus HaYochid, and he passes over the Avir Rishus HaRab in the middle, and he's not being Moshit, he's just being Mavir. So here also, he's carrying the Eruv from outside the Dalet Amos to the inside of the Dalet Amos, above, and it's all above 10 Tfachim, so that's Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaYochid. But it's Derech Avir Rishus HaRabim. And why is it Avir Rishus HaRabim? Because this branch is Rabim Mekatvim Ola. And we said in the name of Ula that if you have an Amud in Rishus HaRabim and it's Gavoa Tes Tfachim and people are Mekatvim Ola, then it has the status of a Rishus HaRabim as far as Mavir is concerned. Now we're applying that to the case of Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, Derech Rishus HaRab. So it's not exactly Moshit, because again, as we said before, Moshit means that one Levi gave it to the other Levi. Here he's just a loner and he's carrying the Eruv from Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid. But the Gemara thinks that he can't do that and he'd be violating an Issa Doraisa, even though he's the one who's carrying it, because it's going through the Avir of Rishus HaYachid. And if I remember correctly, when we were learning the Sugya back on Daf Tzadi Vav in Masechta Shabbos, we said that if you throw something from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid, Derech Avir Rishus HaRabim, then you're chayav for that. And there also, it's not a case of Moshit, because he's not giving it to anyone else. And we had a machlokes whether he has to go Dalet Amos through the airspace of Rishus HaRab. You remember that? We went through the Hari Kedem. I don't know if you remember that. So that part of the sugya has to be studied. He doesn't talk about this, as far as I can tell. But the bottom line is that in this case, in the Mishnah, where the Erev is invalidated, so we have the following two conditions. Number one, the Erev is located on a branch that is above 10 Tfachim. Oh, we have three conditions. Above 10 Tfachim. Number two, the branch extends 4 Amos plus beyond the trunk of the tree. And therefore we cannot apply the principle of Rava, of Dalet Amos. And number three, now we have to add another condition, and that is that the airspace below this branch is classified as Avir Shusarab, such that it would be impossible for him to move the Erev within Dalet Amos, I mean closer to the trunk of the tree, to set up Huve Ruva B'Makom Echad, and we can't do that because he'd be carrying from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid Derech Avir Rishus HaRab. And that's the case of Rabin Mekatfim Ol. All this was to finish up yesterday's Gemara. And now we can start today's Gemara. Okay. So I just want to try and see if I can do something here. One second. Sorry. Oh, okay. Now, we have a machlokes between Rebbe and Chachamim about Shavuos on Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmoshos. Is there an Issa Shavuos? And the Nafka Mina is going to be in a case where he leaves his Erev on a tree, and in order to get access to his Erev on Shabbos, he's going to have to be using the tree. And we said that there's an Iser Shavuos Derabanan in the Gemara at the end of Beitzah of a person who benefits from a tree. So that Rebbe will say that's not a problem because that gezeira of enjoying the benefit of the tree doesn't apply Bein HaShmoshos. And the Rabbana will say it's a serious problem because he's benefiting from a tree which is Usur during Bein HaShmoshos. So he won't be able to have access to his Erev. So Gemara says, my Rebbe umay Rabbana, desanya, we learned in a Braisa, Nisano, if he puts his Erev be'ilon l'mal me'asar tfachim ein eruvo Erev, according to the Tanakama, the Erev is batel. And the reason for that is because he cannot bring the Erev to his makom shvisa ben hashmashos because he's being nene from the Ilon. But l'mata me'asar tfachim, I'm sorry. This is not the Chachamim Shita. This is Rebbe Shita. Right? Lamata mi'asar tfachim eruvo eruv. And the reason why Lamala mi'asar tfachim is an invalid Erev is not because of a Shvus Derabbanan, but because L'malam Me'asar Tvachim, if it's four Tvachim wide, then it has the status of a Rishus HaYachid, and he wants to be Kona Shvis and Rishus HaRabim. And again, the branches of the tree extend beyond four Amos, and that's where he put his Erev L'malam Me'asara, which is Rishus HaYachid. He has no way, no how of bringing it into his Makom Shvisa, which is in the Rishus HaRabim, and that's a Doraisa problem. But L'mata Me'asar Tvachim Eruvo Eruv, right, because now we've removed the status of the Makom Eruv as a Rishus HaYachid. It's no longer in Rishus HaYachid. It's now in Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, at least on a Doraisa level, he's allowed to have access to his Eruv. Right? He can take it from the Elon into his Makom Shvisa. And if you'll talk about the fact that he's taking it off a tree, we're going like Rabbi Yudah Nasi, who says that there's no Issa D'Rabbanan and Ben HaShmashos, and the Eruv is now Chal. Now, what happens if the Eruv is left on a very low place on the tree, but Tok Shlosha Tvachim is then Mutal Litlo? Not only is the Eruv valid, but he's allowed to take the Eruv and eat it. And the reason for that is because the Karka of Rishus HaRabim goes up three Tvachim. And anything that's located within three Tvachim is Mamish in Rishus HaRabim. It's not a Karmelis. Karmelis is from three Tvachim and up. And now the Braisa ends with another statement of Rebbe. Nisano b'kalkala, b'kalkala, uslo b'ilon, is afil l'malam e'asar Tvachim e'ruv e'ruv. Okay, so what happens now? He's got a basket, and he hangs the basket up on one of the branches of the tree, and he puts the Eruv into the basket. Then Rebbe says in this Braisa that the Eruv is valid, even L'malam Me'asar Tvach. So how is that so? That's the subject of our sugya today. How do you validate an Eruv that's above 10 Tfachim simply because he places it into a salsala, a kalkola that's hanging onto the tree? Okay, so that's Divrei Rebbe. Now, he already points out something that we're going to, like, this is a little bit of a sort of a taste of what we're going to get later on. And that is that in this case of Kalkola, we're going to have to assume that the Eruv is not in a Rishus HaYachid. And perhaps that means that it's hanging on to a branch that's less than four Tfachim wide. And as we said over and over again, the minimum dimensions of Rishus HaYachid are twofold. It's not enough that it's a height of 10 Tfachim, but you also need a width of 4 square Tfachim. So this branch doesn't have that width. And therefore, the Mezonos, the Eruv, is not located in Rishus HaYachid. Okay, V'chachamim Omrim, Kol makom she'asur litlo ein eruvo eruv. So let's talk about a case where the eruv was left below 10 tfachim on the Elon. And we said that according to Rebbe, the eruv is perfectly valid, but according to Chachamim, no. The eruv is invalid because in Bein HaShmashos he cannot have access to the eruv. Why? Because the Chachamim made a gzera, and all the gzeros apply during Bein HaShemashos. And if he were to take the Erev off the tree, let's say the tree is now, the branch of the tree is now 9 tefachim high, he would be benefiting from the tree and violating the Issur D'Rabbanan, which applies even Bein HaShemashos. Already at Bein HaShemashos, we have a serious problem. Now, what I just assumed is that the Chachamim are going on the last case. I'm sorry. That the Chachamim are going back on the first case in this Braisa, where the Braisa differentiates between Lamala Me'asara and Lamata Me'asara. The Gemara eventually is going to come to that conclusion, but right now the Gemara thinks that the Chachamim are commenting on the Sefer, which is the case of Kalkola, where he placed his Eruv into a basket. The Chachamim say that even though he placed the Eruv into the basket, he still is not able to get access to the Eruv. Why? Because he's benefiting from the tree. Now, the very last sugya in Masechta Shabbos questions the scope. How far is the scope of the Issur D'Rabbanan benefiting from a tree? And according to one opinion, the prohibition, right, the rabbinic prohibition, only applies to gufo shel ilan, and not to the tzdadim of the ilan. So let's say, for example, if you were hanging on to a branch of the ilan, that would, according to one man, that's called tzidei ha ilan, and that's not included in the gzera. Which means that if we would assume the Rabbanan are rejecting Rebbe in the case of Kalkola, which is called in the language of the Gemara the Sefer, then you're going to have to assume that Lamata Me'asara, the Erev is invalid because the Iser of benefiting from the Ilan applies even Litzdadit, even as far as the branches of the Ilan is concerned. So let's see it inside. V'chachomim omrim kol makom shasa litlo ein eruvo eruv. Ahei, on which part of the braisa did the chachomim add their comment? Ile ma seifa, if they object to what Rebbe wrote in the seifa, that if he places the eruv in a kalkola, and the kalkola is now hanging from a branch of the tree, then even if it's lamala me'asar, the Erev is valid. And now the Chachom are coming to disagree. And they say, well, you're benefiting, you're being mishtamish be'ilon. Mishtamshus be'ilon is asur, even be'ben ha'shmoshos, and he has no access, no possibility of accessing his Erev. Is lema kasava rabbonon tzadim asurim? Are we therefore going to have to assume that the Rabbanan identify or accept that view, which is a major machlokas at the end of Shabbos, about Tzadei HaIlon and Shimush B'Tzadei HaIlon, even though he's not benefiting from the tree itself, the basic, you know, Ikar HaTree, the trunk of the tree, that's also, litzdadim is also included in the Gzeiras Chachamim, and therefore it's also b'Shabbos. And the Gemara is not happy with this, because to say that the sugya at the end of Brachos, at the end of Shabbos, excuse me, is totally unaware of this Chachamim here in Masechta Erevin. In other words, if the Chachamim are clearly maintaining the shita that that study on Elon is considered like Gufo Shel Elon as far as the Gzeiras Shimush Be Elon is concerned, then why didn't the Gemara at the end of Shabbos make reference to this sheet of the Chachamim? The Gemara is not comfortable with assuming that the Chachamim took one side and accepted one view in a major controversy about the scope of the Iser Shimush Be Elon. And therefore the Gemara says, Ela Areisha. Why not we skip the Sefer, and the Rabbanan are going back to the Reisha, and the question is whether you can validate the Erev Lamata Be'asorah. We're not talking about Kalkola, which is Tzdadeya Elon, we're talking about Gufo Shel Elon. He left the Erev on the trunk of the tree, below Asara Tfachim. Rebbe says that the Erev is perfectly valid. He's being Nene, he's being Mishtamish Be'ilon. The answer is, it's Ben HaShmashos. And Rebbe Olds is no Yisur Ben HaShmashos. And the Chachamim say, in this very case, the Erev is disqualified because since it's sitting on the Elon, he's going to have to benefit from the Elon. And that's what the Gemara is suggesting now. But he writes here, Rebbe, who says the Erev is valid, lamata me'asar tfachim, even though you're not allowed to access the Erev because you'll be nene from the tree, but that's only on Shabbos itself, on Erev Shabbos ben Hashboshos, you'd be allowed to take the Erev. And Cholkol of Chacham v'yomru, afal pisha hama'arev, ve'eruvo birshus achas, mikol mekom me'achas she'ha Erev, Munach ala Elon Atzmo, who b'Shabbos therefore also litlo. You're not allowed to take the Erev off the tree. Is lekach, therefore af b'Ben Hashmashos shu sofek Shabbos also litlo v'ein eruvo Erev. So this at this point is the Gemara's answer to the original question: My Rebbe v'my Rabbana. Where do we find this machlokas between Rebbe and Rabbanah? And in my mind, this is fascinating because there are so many different issues about Shmusim on Bein HaShmashos. Like, for example, the Mishnah in the first parak of Shabbos speaks about a chayat. You know, he's not allowed to go out Erev Shabbos with his needle, you know, penetrating into the, you know, his beged because he might take it off and carry it and so on. Does that Iser apply Ben HaShmashos? I mean, you could come up with who knows how many different variations, but it's interesting, the Gemara here gives you the impression that the original machlokas between Rebbe and Chachamim revolved about Eruv, and specifically about Eruv Tchumen, and not only that, about Eruv Tchumen in this very, very rare case where he left the Erev on top of an Elon, and the question is if it's an Iser to have access to his Erev by taking it off of the Elon on Bein HaShmashos Erev Shabbos. And do we say that the Rabbanah never prohibited Shimush B'Elon in Bein HaShmashos? That's Rebbe's view, or the Chachamim say it's also, therefore the Erev is invalid. Okay. Now, the Gemara gets back to this Braisa and tries to understand what exactly is going on in this Braisa. Hi, Elon Hechi Dami. Does the Elon have the status of a Rishus HaYachid or of a Makom Ptur? Now, either way, we're in deep trouble, because if this Erev was left in a Rishus HaYachid, then even Rebbe would have to agree that the Erev is invalid. If the Erev was in a Makom Ptur, then even the Chachamim should agree that the Erev is valid. Hechi Dami, Ida Lesbe Arbat Fachim. If that part of the tree where he located his Erev is less than 4 Tfachim in width, Makom Pturu. it's a makom p'tur, because carmelis is a gzera that only applies if you have the first condition is you have to have a minimum width of 4 tefachim. So if this Elon doesn't have 4 tefachim in the place where he left the Eruv, then even in a case of Lamala me'asara, it would still be a makom p'tur. And he writes here, Kol Rishus Sherechava Pachos Mi Arba Tfachim Einin Echsheves Rishus Bifnei Atzmo Ela Makom P'tur. And if that be the case, then it matters not, you know, where he's located. If he's in a Rishus HaRabim, in a Rishus HaYochid, he left the Erev in a Makom P'tur. And there's no reason why the Erev should be disqualified. Alright. So the whole sugya of Makom P'tur is in Shabbos Daf Vav. That's the famous sugya of Arba Rishu Yisein L'Shabbos, right? So now by process of elimination, the E, either Ispe Arba, if there's 4 tefachim in width, so then what we understand very well, Rebbe's distinction between Lamala Me'asar and the Ilan and Lamakta Me'asar and the Ilan, because Lamala Me'asar and the Ilan is Rishus HaYochid, so even on a Deraisa level and Beinish Watch, he cannot have access to his Eruv. Whereas Lamata Me'asara, even if you'll call it a Carmelis, and even if you'll tell me, well, he's benefiting from the Elon when he takes it off the Elon, and he's violating a Nisa Drabbanon, that's irrelevant. Because we're going like Rebbe, and there are no Isurim Drabbanon, no Xeris Drabbanon on during Bein HaShemashos. So far everything's good, except for the Sefer. Now we move forward to the last case in this price. And that's the case of Kalkola. So Gemara says, Ki nesano bekalkola my havi. Why does Rebbe validate the Eruv in a case of nesano bekalkola? And it's Lamala Me'asara. It has the width of 4 tefachim, because otherwise it'd be a Makom P'tur, and everybody agreed. And yet, the Erev is valid because of this location of the Erev in the basket, in this Kalkola. Now, how does that operate? I mean, the Kalkola is in Rishus HaYochid. It's hanging from a tree, a branch of a tree. And this branch of a tree is a Rishus HaYochid. It's Lamala Me'asara. It's a Rechava Dalet. Why would his Erev be valid in a case where the Erev is in Rishus HaYochid? Again, as we said, it's got the two dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. There's no way, no how that he can take it into the Rishus HaRab, where he wants to be Kona Shvisa, he has no access to it. So what did you gain by introducing a Kalkola, and all of a sudden, even if it's Lamala Me'asara, Rebbe agrees that it's a, Rebbe postulates that it's a valid Erev. Rebbe agrees that Lamala Me'asara is Rishus HaYochid, if you have the dimensions of Rochav Dalet Fochim, and therefore the Erev is invalid. Why does Rebbe validate the Erev in the case of Kalkola? Amar Ravina, Reisha de Isbe as Arba, and Seifa de Lesbe Arba. So up until the case of Kalkola, we're talking about a case where you have on this tree the width of 4 tefachim. Hence, we understand Rebbe's distinction between Lamala Me'asara and Lamata Me'asara. But Seifa is a case where there's no Rochav of Arba Tfachim, and therefore we're not dealing with the Rishus HaYachid, but rather we're dealing with the Makom Patur, and he's permitted to have access to his Eruv from a Makom Patur into a Rishus HaRab. And what I like about this is that we can feel comfortable now that even the Chachamim should be able to accept this if it's less than four tefach, because now we have a makom p'tur. But yet the Braisa quotes Chachamim, and the answer is maybe the Chachamim are going back to the Reisha. Do you remember that? And if the Chachamim are going back to the Reisha because they have the problem of Shemesh Min HaIlon and they disqualify the Erev thereby, in the case of Kalkala, they might be able to accept the validity of the Eruv because there's no Rochav Dalit. It becomes a Mokum Tur. He's not being Mishtamish with the Elon because it's called Sidei HaElon. Once he puts the Eruv into the Kalkola, that makes it into what? Into Sidei HaElon. And Sidei HaElon is not considered benefiting from the Elon. The Kalkola Mashlimosel Arba. Now keep in mind that Ravina is, we just have to work out the shitas here. Let's just see. According to Ravina, what happens in the case of Kalkola? Mashlimasa le'arba. So what's the status now of the Kalkola? Right, we said the Kalkola is even if it's above Asar Tfachim. So if it's Asar above Asar Tfachim, and it's now Mashlimasa le'arba, which we'll have to figure out what that means, but let's just accept that it's Mashlimasa le'arba. So now we should have a Rishus HaYochid and the Erev should be invalid. So he writes here, Mikol Makom Eino Rishus HaYochid. Why? Kevan de Vishlosha Es Atfochim Hasmuchim Lekarka Eino Rochav Arba. Ah. So what's happening here is that the Kalkola is suspended in midair, right? So you have a branch of a tree and you hang up this basket and loop it into the tree. Ah, oh wow, now I got it. Who remembers Mishan? I'm going to quiz you guys. Mishan was a canoe, right? It was a ship that is wide on top, but narrow on the bottom. And the question was whether he's allowed to carry inside the canoe from one end to the other. And it all depends on whether or not the canoe is called a Rishus HaYochid. Now let's assume that the canoe is above 10 tefachim, which may mean one of two things. Either you go back to the, you know, the, what's it called, the floor of the sea, or you talk from the, you know, from the walls of the canoe, and from the sea, the walls of the canoe go up 10 tefachim. But now, in order for the canoe to be muta betiltel, you would have to have Rochav Dalit Tfachin. But the problem is that in its base, the canoe gets narrow, and it doesn't have the width of Arba Tfachin, which means that the canoe cannot be considered Shusayachit. And we discussed the issue of Gideon Bokimbo, if you remember, that, you know, you could have, if you have imaginary mechitzos, then although, you know, you have the mechitzos, the dofnos of this meshan, that, let's say, are 10 tfachim high, but in order to get them down to the ground, where there's no rochav arbo, you're going to have to say, go to achis mechitzos, so you have imaginary mechitzos going all the way down, but the Gideon could go break through those mechitzos. And the Gemara goes into a whole discussion about Dagim, if you remember, right? Where the fish are the same as Gideon, you know, with Gideon Bokimbo or not. Oh. So now, let's assume that the Meshan would be Aser Vatiltul, which means that despite the fact that the canoe on top is Rochav Dalid, since in its base it's Pachos Midalid, therefore it's not a Rishu Sayoch, and that's why you're not allowed to carry within the canoe. Again, you could carry maybe less than Dalid Amos, but not more than Dalid Amos. So if we apply that to this case of a tree trunk, then the tree, as it rises, gets the width of 4 tfachim, but in its base, it doesn't have 4 tfachim. That's what I think is going on over here, that he writes, Bishloshes ha-tfachim asmuchim lekarka, if we calculate the first 3 tfachim going up from the ground, Eino Roch of Arba, you will not find the width of 4 tfachim. So the bottom part of the tree up till 3 tfachim is less than 4 tfachim wide, like the case of the Mishan. So it's not a Rishus HaYochid. Now, if it's not a Rishus HaYochid, then clearly the Eruv should be a valid Eruv. Why? Because he's being Konesh Shvis in Rishus HaRabim, and the Eruv in this case is not a Rishus HaYochid. Let me just see. He has a footnote here. Let me just see. Afal Gav Shalomala Yeshbo Rochav Harbe. And he's got Mechitzos Gvoas Asar Tfachim. But Ein Metaltalin Bohem. Why? She'ein Rishus HaYochid. Why? Because at the bottom of the tree, we don't have 4 tfachim, we only have 3 tfachim. Okay, so it's not a Rishus HaYochid. I see from this footnote that there are a lot of different shittas in Rishonim over here. There's Tosis, Divya Masav Kalkol at the bottom, Tosis, there's also Rabbeinu Chananel. But I just want to get through this sugya according to Rashi. So he says, these are the key words that I can find, is atam she'ein rishus hayochid, is because he writes that the tachtis ha'ilon is he needs arba tfachim, he only has shlosha tfachim b'tachtis ha'ilon. Kidei sheyichoshev lemala me'asara rishus hayochid. Kishiyesham rochav arba tfachim. Okay. Now, in such a case, Rebbe says that we need a kalkola. Let's see, how does the kalkola help us? Is Rebbe Sovisha Erev Munach Lemala Me'asor Tvachim Eino Erev Elim Kain Hu Munach Al Mokom Arba Lulekach Tzor Shakalkola Tashlim Lemokom Arba. Do I understand correctly? We need an overlap here of two halachas in order to validate this Eruv in the Kalkola, which is Lamala Me'asor Tvach. Number one, we have to assume that there's no Rochav on the bottom, as he calls it, B'tachtis Ha'ilon of four Tvachim. But on the other hand, in order for the Eruv to be valid, we dafka need four Tvachim B'Rochav in the place where the Eruv is sitting. The Eruv has to be sitting in a Mokom Chashuv, which requires a minimum of Dalit Tfachin. So there's a paradox here. On the one hand, we're saying that the only reason why the Erev is valid is because the Dafka is no four Tfachin, which means on the bottom of the trunk we don't have the width that's required for a Shusay Yochid. And if that be the case, then according to Rebbe, there's no problem with this Erev, because if it's not in a Shusay Yochid, then you can have access to the Eruv. But now we have another problem, which dafka necessitates Arba Tfachim, and that's the Eruv itself. The Mokom Anochas HaEruv has to be for Tfachim. And here's where Ravina invokes the principle called Kalkola Mashlimos Al Arba. So that even though the tree itself doesn't have for Tfachim, but once you attach the kalkola to the tree, because the kalkola is now hanging on a branch of the tree, and it's, how do you say in English, tzamud, it's contiguous to the tree, so now the tree becomes four tvachim. So there's a, that's what I call the paradox here, that on the one hand, dafka, because it's less than four tvachim, the Erev is going to be valid, because you don't have a Rishus HaYochid. But dafka, in a case where the Erev is placed in a kalkola, which is attached to the Elon, and now you have a full four tfachim, if you include the Elon together with the kalkola, now the Erev could be valid, because an Erev has to be munach in a place that's got four tfachim. And here we turn, and I'll try to very quickly finish up, because I know we're press for time, but here we turn to Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Rebbe Savala Ki Rabbi Meir V'Savala Ki Rabbi Yehuda. Rebbe is a combination of two shita. Savala Ki Rabbi Meir Di Omar Chokikim Lahashlim V'Savar La Ki Rabbi Yehuda Di Omar Be'inon Erev Al Gabi Mokom Arba V'Leka. Meaning, Veleka means unless you metzaref the kalkola to the Elon, you don't have four tfachim, which is the critical requirement, according to Rabbi Yehuda, of an Erev. The Erev has to be lying, resting on a place that has four tfachim. But let's see, why do we need Rabbi Meir? The Omar, right, Rabbi Meir is chokin la'ashlim, legabi pesach ha'osui kikipa. You remember this? We had a case back in Shabbos where you had an open entrance that was shaped like a cone. You know, it was round on top and it gets narrow on the bottom. Or the opposite. It's an archway that gets narrower on the bottom. So the rochav at some point in this archway is for tfachim, but when you get lower down because of the circular archway, what you're gonna have is that, no, just the opposite. on the bottom it's wide, and then it gets narrow on the top, right? An arch gets narrow on the top. So at some point on top, it doesn't have a rochav of 4 tefachim. And Rabbi Meir is going to allow you to ki'ilu not go off the wall in order to make a circle into a rectangle. That's called chokikin la'ashlim. And then you'll get the width of 4 tefachim on top. Now, why is that relevant to us? Aval pisha ein b'chalal shir haroy l'chiv mezuzah shu arbat tefachim b'rochav. In order to be chayv in a mezuzah, you need a width of 4 tefachim. So you have the asar tefachim b'gova, but you don't have the 4 tefachim in rochav. And we're going to apply the principle of chokikin l'hashli. Okay. Now, let's go back to Erev. Kevon sha Erev munach bi omek ha-kalkola b'shuleha. Right, the Erev is on the bottom of this basket. Let's call it the floor of the basket. V'shulayim elu rechokim shlosha tfachim mishitcho ha-elyon shel ha-ilon. I'm not sure if he's introducing a new variable here, but he's saying that there's a distance between the kalkola in the floor of the kalkola and the top part of the ilon. Lachain rosha ilon v'shulei ha-kalkola eino mitztarfim le'choshev Yachad arbat fachim. So you can't, you will not be able to integrate the width of the top of the tree with the width of the kalkola, because the omek kalkola is more than 3 tefachim away from the elyon shel ha'ilon, unless we apply the principle of Rabbi Meir of chokikin lahashlim, and then we can consider the ilon as if it was cut off, so to speak, chakuk. So the part of the ilon that separates the ilon from the kalkola is ke'ilu removed, based on the principle of Rabbi Meir, chokin lahashlim, and therefore the kalkola is mashlim, and it's mitzarif the makom ha'eruv in the shulei kalkola to the shir of arbat fachim in rochav, and that would fulfill the requirement of Rabbi Meir. Being mashlim with a few notes here, he says, number one, medubar v'pesach shalamata. So this is the case of chokin lahashlim as far as mezuzah is concerned. And yeshbo lamata, it has rochav arbat tfachim, up until 3 tfachim height. But before it gets to 10 tfachim height, it becomes rounded. And towards the kippah on the top, it doesn't have a width of 4 tfachim. But in the thickness of the wall, there is a width of 4 tefachim all the way up straight through to its height. And Rabbi Meir holds chokin lahashlim, and the Chacham rejected and say, ein chokin lahashlim. Now, in the case of Eruv, we said that you've got the rochav of the kalkola plus, if you add that to the pachos migibel tefachim of the ilon, and you get 4 tefachim in width. He says, im hayah barosh ha'ilon atzmo arbat tefachim. Then he says, shulei ha'kalkola hayu nechshavim Rishus HaYochid Af below Din Chokin LaHashlim Machma Shem Kechorei Rishus HaYochid Shedinam Kirishus HaYochid Chak Mivnesha Ilon Atzmo Pachos Mi'arbat Fachim V'Eino Rishus HaYochid Lekach Shulei HaKalkola Einom Tfelim L'Rochvo Shel Ilon Beroshu Adin Chokikin Lahashlim Lashir Arbot Fachim. The Afsha Omrim Chokikin Lahashlim, Ilon Nechshav Rishus HaYochid, Lefi Sheinbo Rochav arba tfachim b'shlosha satfachim asmuchim lekarka. Ach, hatoelis b'din chokin hirak lahachshiv es mokom ha'irv k'mokom arba tfachim. Sherebi sover she'il molikein eino erev kishitas Rabbi Yehuda. Now he quotes a kasha from the Tosa Rosh in the Ritva. L'diri Ravina Sherebi sover ki Rabbi Yehuda hare nitan hoya lahamid gam es haresha kishe'ein be'ilon arba umemela afla malame asora eina rishus hayochid vatam she'ein eruvo hu mishum she'ein omunach al gabi mokam arba. So why don't we say that even in the resha, if the ilan doesn't have arba tfachim, then it's not rishus hayochid, and the only reason the eruv is invalid is because it doesn't have arba tfachim. So Tosa Rosh says in the name of Rabbeinu Yonah, and the Ritva in the name of the Maran Bar Shneor, Shemitoch Divrei HaChachamim, Shecholko HaRebbe, V'yomer Shekol Mokum Sha'asa Litlo, Ein Eruvo Eruv, Mashma Sheshomu MiRebbe, Shetaimo Lechalik Ben Lamala Me'asor Ben Lamatu, Mitzara Iso Litol Asa Eruv, Shalamala Me'asor Eno Eruv, Mishum Sha'asa Litlo, Afilu Ben Hashmashos. And that would therefore only apply if it's got rochav arba tefachim. Okay, so this is where we're going to stop for the time being, and we're up to my Rabbi Yehuda here on Daf Lamed Gimel Amid Beis, which is on line 4 lines down from the top of Lamed Gimel Amid Beis.